Okay, how was your Monday? Awesome. Yeah, it was good. Okay, gentlemen, tonight is going to be the discussion of sleeping in the sukkah, part one at least. And then we're going to be speaking about the first night of sukkahs, the obligation to, I think you mentioned it yesterday, the difference between the first night of sukkahs and the other nights. Okay, now, the Rama in Siman Tov Reish Lamed Tes. It's the second part of Siv Beis, says as follows. So yesterday we spoke extensively about the eating. Today we're going to speak about the sleeping. With regards to the sleeping in the sukkah, the fact that people are lenient, the Rama's assumption is that people are lenient about sleeping in the sukkah. So it looks like in the most times, Krakow, probably quite cold. Yeah, people are lenient. It's not that north that you'd expect it to be. Where is it? It's about probably the same. I don't think it's so different than. It's probably the same latitude than us. I don't know, maybe a little bit more south. Yeah. I don't think it's. I don't know about the weather generally, but. It's safe to say it doesn't rain as much as here. But, it's okay. So, Akubonim looks like it was a bit cold. I don't know. Certainly because of the climate change. It must have. Umashen agen lehokel achshav b'sheino sheini sheini b'sukkah. Irak ha-medakim b'mitzvah. There's only the very particular people who are sleeping in the sukkah. Only those who are very careful with the mitzvahs and the halachas. Only those are careful to sleep in the sukkah. Most people are not sleeping in the sukkah, says the Rama. Why is that? So he's trying to explain and justify the fact that people don't sleep in the sukkah. First approach is, yesh oimim mishom tzino. It's just too cold. It's cold. And a night is cold, temperature are sinking, sukkah's time, people are, generally things are getting a bit cooler already. He says it's getting cold, people are not meant to catch a cold. And he says, "Yesh tzar lishon b'mekoyim zakorim." There is agony, discomfort to sleep in such places. That's attempt number one. Here I want to look at the Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Nidzayin. Mishum tzino. Im kein, the Mishnah Berurah says, "Well, if so, mishaelo korim v'ksosus koroy v'yesh tzino. If a person is unable to, doesn't have pillows and cushions. Sure, if you're not adequately equipped, if you are adequately equipped, you should bring that into the sukkah. But if you're not, then ein lo lehach melishon shom tenikro hedyot." He says, if a person is unable to bring adequate equipment into the sukkah and to warm himself in the sukkah, then he's not allowed to go into the sukkah and sleep there because he's going to catch a cold. There is discussion in the poskim, and that's one of the main mamakomas. To what extent we know there's halachic parameters. How much a person must spend for mitzvahs. How much a person, a sixth, etc. is halachic definitions. How much do you need to spend on a mitzvah? How much do you need to spend on your sukkah? £100, £200, £400. How much do you spend in your lulav? All right. How much of your health, however, do you need to spend on a mitzvah? That's not so clear. Do I need to get ill over a mitzvah? Do I need to get ill if, let's say, I know if I'm going to go to sleep on a sukkah for a week, I will have a cold. I will catch. Am I obligated to do so? You know, the discussion is perhaps a bit related to in the olden days. Nowadays, not so much, but some people suffered a lot from eating more. Nowadays, it's not that common. But let's say you've got a person that suffers enormously by eating more, or perhaps the kezesim on Pesach. How much unwellness do you need to bring upon yourself to fulfill a mitzvah? Not a financial question, a wellness question. Very interesting question.
It's a bit different because you've got this concept of style.
Very good. Very good. That's exactly where I wanted to go. So that, yeah, precisely, yes, absolutely. So whilst it may be a discussion elsewhere, with regards to sukkahs, it's clear that there's a very limited, you don't have to get unwell. So, of course, lechatchila, you sleep in the sukkah. Lechatchila, you go into the sukkah, you make yourself warm and comfortable in the sukkah. But if a person is unable to do so, he's exempt, very much so. That's the dialogue of tzina. Velinirad Ramos says, I have another approach. So the first approach is cold, the weather. the freezing conditions. Velinira says the Amor, I think of another reason. Mishum the mitzvah sukkah ish veisoy, ish veishtoy. The mitzvah sukkah is very much you live like you live the rest of the year, and normally a married man will be living with his wife in the same room. Ish veisoy kederech shudor kol hashana. If a person is unable to sleep in the same room as his wife, if a person doesn't have a distinct, designated, allocated sukkah that he can't sleep with his wife, doesn't have a separate private area, then he's exempt to potu. So, but ideally, based on that, further to that, v'toiv la'achmet is granted restriction. V'li yosham mishtoy k'moshu dob kol hashana imef shaliyos la'sukkah mechades. Of course, according to that, based on that, if a person is able to have a sukkah and sleep with his wife in the sukkah, that's of course best. That's of course best if you've got a private sukkah with enough privacy and you can't sleep with your wife in the sukkah. That's ideal. However, if a person is unable to sleep with his wife in a sukkah, if that's not possible, then, says the Ramah, that might be the reason why then he's exempt. Because it doesn't go, the halacha of the ish veisoy means you're allowed to sleep like you sleep the rest of the year. That means with one's wife. If she doesn't want to sleep in the sukkah. I think that probably it's a good question. That's an interesting question. I would say that by default, the way it would work is like this. Since she doesn't have to sleep in the sukkah, and she doesn't want to sleep in the sukkah, and you don't have, and the husband doesn't have an obligation further than, according to the Ramah, the mitzvah is only k'derech shudor kol hashana. So I would argue, probably, according to what you say, in such an instance, the way you're presenting it, l'chora is exempt as well. I think so, because the obligation is kol hashana. So that's approach number two. So again, the Ramah comes along and he says, people don't sleep in the sukkah. People don't sleep in the sukkah. Why don't people sleep in the sukkah? He says, I have two explanations. Explanation number one is, because it's too cold. Of course, ideally, you should make yourself warm in the sukkah, but if you can't, then reason number one. Reason number two is, because, because the person is only expected to live in the sukkah k'derech kol hashana, the way you sleep the whole year. If you sleep the whole year, no one in the same bedroom than your wife, then you could also exempt, and you exempt if your wife can't sleep in the sukkah. But of course, if she can't sleep in the sukkah and she's willing to sleep in the sukkah, then bring her along and sleep in the sukkah with her. Yes, it's a good question. From the words of the Ramah, it sounds very much that it is a limud zchus. He explains the common minig, but it's good enough for limud zchus to justify the minig, so he's not attacking it. Now the Mishnah Berurah of Kot Yudches says the following: first, wide line in our editions. The Vilna Gaon disagrees with both reasons. He says, first of all, forget about coldness. No, you gotta be moist and nefesh for the mitzvah. So cold is not an acceptable answer. And second of all, he also doesn't like the second one. So he doesn't like this novel interpretation. He therefore says as follows: Tolemifta mishum ze. He says the fact that you're going to sleep with your wife the rest of the year, so it doesn't make sense. Says the Vilna Gaon. Tolemifta mishum ze. That's not adequate explanation. Magnavo amasik mishum ze lo mifta. He says that's not. Magnavo also says that's not enough of justification. V'limet chus achal oilam. But he's got another way of explaining why people are lenient sometimes with regards to sleeping in the sukkah. What's the limud chos? Mishum davle mitztaya. He is a mitztaya k'she'en yecholishon shom a mitztoy. A person is often a mitztaya, said the Vilna Gaon. He is a mitztaya if he can't sleep with his wife. He's uncomfortable, he wants to sleep with her. It's not because of a whole Torah of k'dar kol hashana. No, that's not good. But it's just mitztaya. You don't feel comfortable if you don't sleep with your wife. And he says it's a p'tu. The p'tu is a normal, conventional mitztaya. But if he doesn't care, couldn't care less, he's happy to sleep himself. He's quite happy to sleep in the sukkah on his own. And then he can't sleep at home. He would have to sleep in the sukkah. So and then he carries on and he says, "Mashma mikam achoinim demand yevshal olishan imishte besukah deinu sukah michalis person of a private sukah lelevatel zman oino v'leil tefila person not allowed to cancel oino tefila because of that v'lechay v'lachashin is davik imishte achshal sukah eloishem veisad amud hashacha." He could sleep at home in such an instance. Now so what we have got over here is three different approaches why the minig is to be meikel. I want to point out that again, what are the three reasons? Reason number one is if it's cold. Reason number two, if it's you're used to sleeping, you don't have to sleep on your own. If you know, and the third one is because we'd start without the wife. What I want to just point out is I don't know what the weather conditions was in. I don't know what the weather conditions was in Krakow, as mentioned. Some 300 years ago, I don't know. But it seems obvious that if it really is freezing cold, if you're really mitzvah because of the cold in the sukkah, just like the rain patterns a person from sleeping in the sukkah if it rains, you don't have to, you know, it's a headache if he stays in the sukkah. So also, if it's freezing cold in the sukkah, if your person is unable to really warm the sukkah, and it really is freezing cold, then it's not limud chos. Then it's not limud chos. Then it is potter because it's mitzvah. Of course, a person should warm himself, should try to arrange himself, etc. But if it still is freezing cold in a sukkah, then it's potter. A person doesn't have to catch a cold. And the chiyuv doesn't go that far if he really is mitzvah. Very good. So I think. Yeah. So it's interesting because. But always, you're always going to be, I'm going to add to your question, you're never going to be as comfortable in a sukkah as you're going to be at home in your bed. Is that true to say? There are people that just put them anywhere and they fall asleep.
I'm embarrassed to say that's not the case with me.
you're just
so comfortable.
Really?
It's inside.
It's, you don't
like
feel it yet.
It's fresh air, you don't hear the kids crying in the morning. It's as good as it's better.
I see, it's the better yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay,
then. Food next to me.
You can just go ahead and take it, carry on sleeping. Yeah, so,
no
right. Okay, so, but if, Shlomo Zalman says, you're always going to have a little bit less, comfort in the sukkah than at home.
Under 4 heat, I can't turn it off, it doesn't go off. Under 4 heating, it's warmer than
you just. Stay the rest of the year.
Because the bill was messed up, and so under the tiles in the kitchen, the underfloor heating's on the whole time.
Really?
Yeah, that goes to awesome.
For some reason,
it
doesn't affect the energy bills, which
are
already ridiculous. So it's
kind of... It's great. Right. So Shlomo Zalman makes the assumption, though, that you're always going to be a little bit less comfortable in the sukkah than you're going to be at home. He says that level... It's normally true, no? So he says that level of discomfort, that's not called mitzvah. That's the mitzvah. So don't say, I don't sleep as well in the sukkah as I sleep at home.
So maybe I'm missing out.
You're missing out.
It's got to be difficult.
He doesn't say it has to be difficult. He says it's going to be a little bit less. That level of decrease of comfort. That level of that's to be expected. So what were you asking? What's the level of mitzvah? Is it going to be really? If a person can't sleep,
as the Gra said, that the mitzvah of not being with his wife is, he explains, because of mitzvah. But
right,
obviously he might want to be with his wife, but. Is that really a sound?
Yeah, so it's interesting. You're saying the Vilna Gaon's approach.
Cuts in the
hand. Yeah, so there is a certain level. Yeah, it's hard to be magdi that. It's hard to be magdi that. Yeah, it's interesting that the poskim discuss if a person has got a... I'll tell you where it is interesting. The poskim discuss, Moshe Tevach has got a tshuva about somebody who's got a young baby who's still sleeping in the room. He's got a young baby, a 2 month, 3 month, 6 month old, and the baby's still sleeping in the bedroom. And you take your shift. You know, sometimes you'll help, sometimes, you know, the wife is too tired or whatever. You want to do your part and you'll change the baby or whatever it is. And that's very much part of the, that's what you do. In such an instance, the Moshe Steinbuch very much takes the approach that a person should is not to. So it's a bit like being. I think it's Nusachiz. I think that's who says somebody else. It's a bit, it goes in get of cholim, or like being formed into somebody else's cheshbon. He said that certainly goes as far as that certainly goes in the get of kedoka lashono. You're not expected to you're expected to do that kind of you meant to do the same as you the rest of the year. That's what he writes. So these are the approaches. But of course, all the poets can agree that ideally a person should sleep in the sukkah. There's many stories of gedolim who slept in the sukkah on the conditions which we would normally say it's mitzvah, but yet they felt that they don't want to leave out a second out of the sukkah. The stories that go that far of speaking about Yidden that stayed in the sukkah and it was snowing, and they slept in the sukkah and it was snowing, that for sure is hard to understand, because normally we know when a person stays in the sukkah, when it's raining, it's called a hedyo, so I don't know why that should be different. But yeah, I mean, a person should try to. Okay. Rabbi said we move on to Siv Gimel. Achila besukkah b'leil rishon choyva. Now we come to another topic, which is the topic of the difference between the first night of Sukkot and the remaining night of Sukkot. So achila besukkah b'leil yom tov harishon choyva. On the first night of Sukkot, you must eat. It's an obligation to eat. Afil ochal kezayis pas yotze dechavosa. If you eat a kezayis, not a size of bread, your yotze. But subsequently, after the first night, it's only a voluntary mitzvah rotzo. If you wish, lechol besukkah, you can eat in the sukkah. So besukkah, if you want to eat in sukkah, you can eat in sukkah. Rotzo, enoichel kol shiva, elopeis v'kloiz chutz the sukkah v'oichel. But if a person rather prefers to only to eat nuts and fruits throughout the entire yom tov, you may do so and eat that therefore outside of the sukkah. It's fine. It's fine. Only the first night you've got a mitzvah to eat in the sukkah. Kedin, just like achilas matzah Pesach. Just like we find similarly the mitzvah of eating a matzah, the matzah on the first night of Pesach. On Seder night we must eat a kezayis. Similarly also here, we must eat the kezayis in the sukkah. You must not eat until it's for sure nacht. You do not eat the first night of Sukkot when it's like penashmoshes, make sure that it's vaday vaday laila. V'yoichal kodim chatzais laila. Similarly, you must ensure to eat before it's chatzois. V'lo yoichal b'yoim chatzois ve'elech kidei sheyoichal basukkah l'tiovoin. Do milachilas matzah. Similarly, you should be makpid from chatzois ve'elech, from midday on erev Sukkot. You should not eat anything proper from midday onwards, in order that you should eat in the sukkah the first kezayis with great appetite. Dumya is similar to achilas matzo. Okay, sivkot miutesim mishlibuah. Rotsalam, the belel yom tevarishon chuyv lechol besukkah. On the first night of sukkahs, we are obligated to eat in the sukkah. Afilo eino yichal el kezayis, only kezayis. Mashen ke milel ze vahalo, afilo b'shabas yom tev chuyv lechol pas, eino chuyv lechol besukkah. Elim oichal yosim vekemad v'achilas kva. There is an obligation to positively eat the first night in sukkahs. In the sukkah, it's an obligation to eat. The reason why this night is more stringent, why is there an obligation on the first night contrary to other nights? Because there is a gzeir shava 15 to 15, just like on the first night you must eat a matzah, mikan ve'elech shus, and afterwards you don't have to eat matzahs. Avachinam elin sukkah, similar also when it comes to sukkah. So just like on Pesach, on Leil Laseder, you must eat the kezayis. And all the other days, you don't have to eat matzah. If you want to eat matzah, you eat matzah. If you don't eat matzah, you don't eat matzah. Similarly, also on Sukkot, the first night of Sukkot, you must eat in the Sukkot a kezayis. Chamisho, chamisho, so. And all the other days of Sukkot, if you want to eat bread, then fine, to eat in Sukkot. You don't have to eat bread. You could really just happily eat nuts and fruit. So if that's what you want to do, then of course, with pleasure. So that's what the difference is between the first night and the other nights. There is a interesting mishnah in Sivkot Chav Dalet. Mishnah says Nistabakta ever sofik. Mishnah says as follows. This is the fourth white line in our mishnah bus. Nistabakta ever sofik. Lefi ma shodu adas agro. It's well known the opinion of the Vilna Gaon. The mitzvah lechoil matzah kol shivas yimei Pesach. There's a mitzvah to eat matzah all the 7 days of Pesach. Is there? a mitzvah to eat matzahs all days of Pesach?
24 meals, the meals with bread.
Otherwise?
It's temporary.
You don't have to. The Vilna Gaon says, you don't have to. But if you eat, you're mekayem a mitzvah. So the Vilna Gaon says, beyond what you say, more than what you say, the Vilna Gaon says, you don't have to, but if you do, you become a mitzvah.
Mitzvah.
Yeah, what we call mitzvah kumis. They would be exempt.
No, I'm saying it's similar to nashim and mitzvah.
Yeah, similar to me, yeah. So he says, if you eat the matzah, you're doing a great mitzvah. So says the Vilna Gaon. Because the Pasuk says, Shivas Yomim, Toich Lamatzahs. Look, Pasuk says, Shivas Yomim, 7 days, you should eat matzah. So surely that means that you're doing a mitzvah. When you're eating matzah, yeah, you're doing mitzvah. When you're eating matzah, doing mitzvah.
So why
Ella, the mitzvah say what?
Why isn't it more widely sort of enforced?
It's a Vilna Gaon. It's not. It's explicit against. It seems to be explicit against the Shulchan Aruch and against the pashtos of the Gemara. But the Vilna Gaon says the pasuk. At the end of the day, the pasuk says.
Why isn't it one of the 613 mitzvahs?
Yeah.
Why is it one of the
yeah, I know, it's counterintuitive because what the others are disagreeing with Vilna Gaon say, it's saying that it's a reshos, you may eat matzahs. You may, it doesn't say that. You have to, you may. But the Vilna Gaon argues back on that. He says, the apostle's not going to tell me I'm allowed to eat matzahs. I know I'm allowed to eat matzahs. He must be telling me more than that.
Standard interpretation is Shiva's Yom, take the matzahs, and then eat bread.
Yeah, so the Vilna Gaon, that's right. And the Vilna Gaon says, no, it can't mean that. Yeah. The Vilna Gaon says, it must mean a bit more than that, right? It must mean, and it's
we've got other Pesukim, we've got us house.
That's right, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. So he says, it must mean that you got that there's a mitzvah in eating matzahs. Ela the mitzvah say, urak be'erev ma she'en kein achakach, urak mitzvah al mitzvah, that you have a positive mitzvah, a kumah same mitzvah on the first night, all the other nights, all the other days, you don't have a positive mitzvah to get up and eat matzahs. But if you do, you have a kamei mitzvah. Evsha says, similarly, it could be, says the Mishnah Berurah, who are dinocha mitzvahs lechatchila lechol pas kol shiva yom levorech leshiva sukkah. Says the Mishnah Berurah. So similarly, it could very well be that you have a mitzvah also to eat in the sukkah as much as possible, bread and make a leshiv. He says, just like there's a Vilna Gaon who tells us, if you can eat, you should eat matzahs. So he says that similarly also, why don't we say, if you have a, try to eat in the sukkah and make a bracha in the sukkah. As much as you want to eat nuts, fruit, you can. But if you are washing and making a lay shave, you are making a positive mitzvah, which is much better if you can. It gives a different perspective. So if a person can, he should eat. Says he's nistapakti. Mishnevu leaves as a tzorichin. Leaves as a tzorichin, and he says that he leaves as a tzorichin. It's a widely quoted mishnevu in the. Yeah, but the Vilna Gaon, after the Tezvav, he says there's still, not just a Rishos, meaning a general permission, it's telling me that there is a fulfillment of a mitzvah. Yeah, so just like by matzah, there's a positive fulfillment if you do eat, so also by sukkah, there's a positive fulfillment if you do eat.
Why?
Because it's Gzeirah Shavah, it's part of Gzeirah Shavah.
It's all part of Gzeirah Shavah?
Yeah, Gzeirah Shavah.
Or because it's a sukkah's Teshuvah.
Yeah, I thought this is the Gezer Shava, but he does bring the Kapasha, the Kosh, Shiva, Yom, it is part of the Gezer Shava. Yeah, it is the Gezer Shava. It is the Gezer Shava. So, Abayi Sai, that's what the Vilna Gaon suggests. Mishavu says, in the Vilna Gaon's opinion, it's probably a good idea to wash and eat. Is that what you do, Abayi Sai? I don't think it's such a hard mitzvah to do. It's quite easy. Wash and eat in the sukkah.
Well, you've got Yom Tov suits anyway.
Exactly. Shabbos and Yom Tov.
And then Cholamot.
The couple of days Cholamot, yeah.
Try and wash twice.
Try, exactly. That's it, yeah. If a person can, wash, make a lay shape. It's great news. Sivkot M'chavei, the Mishnah told us, first two nights, the first night of sukkahs, you should wait until it's nacht. Ta'achilas sukkah b'dayl orishin odumi, ta'achilas matzah b'dayl Pesach, ta'ksibu b'erev to'ich lo matzah, v'anim shtechshach. By night you should eat matzahs, we wait for nacht, which is anyway not particularly difficult during Seder, you wait for nacht. So also, here, you wait for nacht. You should wait for nacht. On the first two nights of Sukkot, you should wait for nacht. If a person failed to wait, was really patient, it can happen on rare occasions, when we daven early, when Maariv ends quickly, sometimes you can go home and it's not quite nacht yet.
Stay for how long?
Those of us who don't stay father, yeah. Yeah, so you in, so throughout the whole year it's fine. It just says that on Sukkot, on the first two nights of Sukkot, you can make Yom Tov whenever you want. You can make it early with pleasure. But in terms of the eating of the first Kiddush, you should wait until it's Vaday Nacht. If you daven early, it's fine, but you should just wait for Nacht. It's part of the Shavuot. Let's talk about Matzah. By Erev Teichlo Matzahs.
I use the word
Erev means night.
Erev
means night. Mishtashach means after Nacht.
And Shavuot, so you get the 7 4 weeks. So the point is back
all the Shavuot. Yeah, so it turns out that you have to wait. Yeah.
Shavuot for the 49.
Matzah because of the Matzah and then. Yeah, so that's what the mission was. I want to point out that there was a year, I don't remember which year it was, that it was very touch and go. When was it? Not such a long time ago. It was very, very touch and rain, with rain. And I remember that year, there was a shadow that was going round, that it was very touch and go with the rain, very, very touch and go. And it was just okay. When we go home, it was fine. It wasn't quite Nacht yet. And you if you wait 10, 20 minutes, there was a serious concern, it's going to start raining. So that was good. You know, if I want to wait for the Nacht, great, but it might be raining. I might lose it all.
You can be in position to kind of, you can send the Spitzen quickly and get one in their seats. You can be in position to basically.
There's a lot.
There's a difference between kind of, you know.
But the schlepping and all 20 minutes.
There
are
many shitters in Nacht.
Yeah. It's not a lose it all. Worst scenario, you just eat in the rain. The first kazoy.
No, on the first night, you can't wait. On the first night, you've got to wait.
Okay, so you wait an hour, so you'll still eat the first kazoy in the rain.
Yeah, but you're losing a late shift. You're losing a late shift. You'd be losing a late shift.
Well, look, but that's better than
you still get the.
Yeah.
You get the kazayas, right?
Yeah, that's the point. You're right. Ultimately, you're right.
Do you lose the kazayas because of the base of mitzvah?
So the thing is, we're going to be learning about this. We will be learning about this. The answer is that if there is a mach, normally, if it's raining, you are mitztayer. Normally, when it's raining, you have an exemption of mitztayer. This exemption of mitztayer may or may not apply on the first night. Maybe when it says you have to eat, it may means you have to eat even if you are mitztayer. So therefore, you have to eat, but you can't make a late shave, even if it's raining. Yeah, so that's the scope. We will be talking about this mitzvah in greater detail. Rabbi said to summarize what we learned this evening. We learned, firstly, we learned that the Ramah said, we spoke about sleeping. By the way, another point about sleeping, before we sleeping in the sukkah. Do you know there's a distinct difference between sleeping and eating? Eating, we learned yesterday that, what do we learn about eating? That if it's a achilas arai, if it's a snack, you can eat that outside of the sukkah. So why don't we say the same when it comes to
a quick nap.
The power nap. Why don't you have a power nap after the sukkah? Oh, yeah. And when it comes to food? So I think it's interesting. The poskim say, this is the Rishonim, that ain ara leshena. When you sleep, you sleep. The intensity of sleeping, that's what the poskim seems to be saying. Once you're sleeping, you're sleeping. There's no, when it's food, you can have more food, less food, makes a difference. But in terms of sleeping, there's no levels of sleeping. Either you're sleeping or not. Once you're sleeping, you can't call it, there's a length. The length makes a difference, but not the intensity of sleeping. Yeah, I know what you mean. There is scientifically differences of level of sleeping. It looks like in the post game there isn't.
I'm not even talking about scientifically. If you fall asleep in your chair,
right, it's a different level than it's not the same. Akuponim, that's what the Shulchan Aruch. Ain ara leshena, and therefore even dozing off. Halacha lemaisa Shulchan Aruch. Any sleep outside the sukkah is a problem. So why are we? So we are learning now, however, that there is three potential reasons why the Ramah says sleeping is the minhag is to sleep at home and not in the kakao. Most times, people sleep at home and not in the sukkah. What are the three reasons why? Firstly, because of the cold. It's cold. People you don't have to catch a cold. You don't have to be freezing. Mitzvah, you can sleep at home if it's cold outside. Point number one. Although the Mishnah says on that, if you can, you should try to make yourself comfortable in the sukkah. Point number two was the Ramah. Ramah says, no provision for wife. You're meant to sleep like you sleep the rest of the year. You sleep the rest of the year with the wife. You don't have to go solitary like a bocha into the sukkah. You don't have to do that. But the both approaches are pushed away by the Vilna Gaon, and he says the reason is because of number three, mitztayer, your discomfort. If you're discomfort, you feel uncomfortable without your wife. You want to sleep with your wife. You know, you're entitled to do so. That's mitztayer, and therefore a person is exempt because of that reason, which is mitztayer. So tzina, ishuvei soy, and mitztayer. These are the three reasons mentioned. Then we learned. But of course, if a person is able to have his own sukkah with his wife and warm himself up in the sukkah, that's of course the best approach. Then we learned that there's a positive mitzvah to eat on the first night of sukkahs, and of course in Chutz La'aretz it means the first and the second night to eat the kezayis in the sukkah tzechoiva, and all the other days is a potential voluntary. If you want to eat in the sukkah, you eat. If you don't want to eat, you don't eat. Everything is fine. And we learned that the Vilna Gaon says on that that it's perhaps more than that. Perhaps it means just like by matzah, if you eat your mekayim mitzvah, and also in the sukkah, if you can and you do eat in the sukkah, making leishev your mekayim a positive mitzvah. And he said that's perhaps true to say as well. It's not just a permission, but you're actually fulfilling a mitzvah eating in the sukkah. Further, we learned that you should wait for nacht. On the first two nights, you wait for nacht until it's vada laila to eat, similar to the matzah on Pesach. And we learned that on Erev Sukkot, you should not eat from Chatzos onwards, so that you should be able to eat the first kezayis with great appetite. I found that very interesting, by the way, that you should be hungry. It's an interesting point that you should be hungry. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, so it goes very machme, yeah. So you should not eat anything proper from Chatzos in order to be hungry when you're eating in the sukkah.
Like a regular Friday, like an Erev Shabbos as well.
You're allowed to eat. You can, on Erev Shabbos, after Chatzos, you shouldn't wash. Here, it's more than that. You shouldn't have any kvias digasuda. Yeah, I don't stop eating on Erev Shabbos, but that's besides the point. So. Yeah, okay, very good. Okay, good evening, Rabbi Yisai.